The debate between the Pueblo County Commissioner District 2 candidates. Steve Henson is your moderator. Let's go live now to PCC.
Show the pros and cons without taking a side on it. It's so helpful. So if you're not able to attend that event, please make sure you get on their website because they do such a great job doing that. So thank you for what you do for this community. Okay. This time I'm going to turn it over to Steve.
Okay. Thank you for coming tonight. What a great turnout. This is really exciting to see so many people engaged in our local politics. A few ground rules. If you were here earlier, you've already heard this, so I apologize. It's redundant. But for those of you who were not at the earlier debate, the candidates will not have cell phones on the stage, so people won't be able to communicate with them. They don't have any earpieces in their ears. They didn't get the questions in advance, so that, I think, hits and dispels most of the conspiracy theories I can think of. So they're just here. They're just going to debate on their own. And so what we ask of you is to turn your cell phones off. We don't want those going off. If you need to answer a call or a text or whatever, please step outside and do that. And also be respectful of the candidates. You know, resist the urge to moan and groan and hiss and throw tomatoes or do whatever you do. And but feel free to cheer for your candidate. I mean, if they say something that you really just love, I mean, hoop and holler, that's great. That's fine. But please show respect to the other candidate as well. Okay, that's enough of the lecture. We flipped the coin, and Danaya won that flip, and she's elected to go second in the forum tonight. So we're going to begin with opening remarks, and we'll start with Paula McPheeters.
Thank you, Steve. We need a county commissioner who will represent the needs of Pueblo, not the desires of Denver. I will be that commissioner. My name is Paula McPheeters. I'm a Pueblo native. I received my undergraduate degree at USC and my graduate degree in public administration at the University of Colorado at Denver. For the last 20 years, I've worked in budget management and grants management. I will bring that experience with me to this job. This job is statutory. In the Colorado Constitution, it is an administrative job with the largest responsibility being budgetary. There are seven other elected officials tasked to serve you. Your taxes support those services. Commissioners must prioritize the budget to ensure services are met. As I have visited citizens all over Pueblo County this last year, I have heard my concerns validated. Number one, public safety. People do not feel safe. I will fund the sheriff and the DA's office and collaborate with city council and the mayor. Most importantly, I will work with our legislative representatives to urge them to change the horrible crime bills that have led to the crime crisis we face in our community. According to 2024 U.S. News and World Report, Colorado is now ranked the third most dangerous state in our country. That's got to change. As your next county commissioner, I will urge our legislators to change those laws and make our community safer again. Infrastructure is also important. There's water in Colorado City, roads in Pueblo West, flooding on the Mesa and fire mitigation in Beulah. All of that takes planning to address. For economic development, we also have generational farmers and ranchers in our community. We need to protect their land and water from interests up north that want to take it from us. We need to protect Pueblo. I've heard it said before that a safe community is like a tax credit for small business. We need to have more support for our small businesses in our community, and we need to have a safe community for them to thrive. Lastly, transparency. A government that works for you should be open to you, and I will push for communication options that allow you to see how the sausage gets made in county government. And lastly, tonight is an opportunity for you to hear the contrast between me and my opponent. I look forward to the conversation, and I thank you all for coming out tonight to hear me. Thank you.
We'll now have opening remarks from Danaya Eskar.
Thank you, Steve, and welcome back, even if it is temporary. And thank you to everyone who has worked so hard to put on this debate. I look forward to these debates every year, whether I'm on the stage or not. I think it's great that you all are here to listen and learn about who is running to represent you, because this truly is a job application for a very important job in our community. I love this community. I always have loved this community. In fact, I earned the nickname Representative Pueblo at the state capitol because I talk so much and push so much to help our community. Now, as a mom, I'm fighting for the future. Before I was ever elected to serve as a policymaker, I was a news producer fighting to make sure Pueblo's stories were heard. I worked in higher education, working with our kids who are the first generation students to go to college. I also worked as a community organizer, and one of my jobs I didn't have to run for county commissioner to do was to urge legislators to listen to us here in Pueblo County. It's something that I did, something that I ran, I helped get legislation issued and ran at the state capitol as a community organizer. I also helped hold elected officials accountable when they wouldn't continue to listen to us. I know how to do that. Why my experience as a policymaker matters to you all? Serving as a state rep, I was also the chair of the budget committee during the crisis of COVID, managing a $33 billion budget when we had to make drastic cuts within weeks of $3 billion. I also served as the majority leader for 2 years. And I got to tell you, when you're running as a, when you're serving as a majority leader from Pueblo in that capital, there's many times you don't make very many friends on your own side of the aisle. I had to make sure that what was best for Pueblo was what we were moving forward. I am proud of the work I did at the state legislature for our community. I passed a mill levy reconstruction to make sure that the education foundation that we have and the funding that we get actually starts filtering down to Pueblo. I brought $70 million home to Pueblo alone. The welding shop here at Pueblo Community College, I fought to get the funding to make that happen. CSUP's nursing department has a brand new building because I fought to bring that back forward and get the money that they deserve. I fought for to protect women's rights when we saw what was going to happen from the federal government, from the Supreme Court coming down. We fought to protect our right to an abortion. I fought for our state and county workers, which, by the way, are some of our biggest employers here in Pueblo County, for the right to bargain, collectively bargain, and the right to join a union. I fought to stop predatory billing, surprise billing that happened at hospitals across the state to make sure that you couldn't be billed for something that is not your responsibility, saving people money, saving people their homes. I'm proud of the work I've done at the state legislature, and I'm proud of the work that I've started to do here at the county commission, and I'm just getting started here at home. I would love to have your support to continue to bring my experience here to Pueblo to improve our community even more.
Okay, our first question, Paula, you'll answer it first. Each of you is running in a specific district, District 2. What do you think are the key issues in that district?
Well, Steve, the one thing about that question, and I have to address, is that running in Pueblo West and the south side of Pueblo, that area up to Colorado's through Rye area, really, you are voting for a county commissioner regardless of where, what district we represent. I have to live in that district, but you get to vote for two county commissioners. So I just want to make that clear. You're not voting because I live in the district you live in. I have to live in the district, and everybody on this election gets to vote for two county commissioners. So what I'm looking at is the totality of our whole county. And we've got some really deep problems in this county. And it all goes back to my opening statement, where we don't have law enforcement that can do its job because we have a legislature that's tied its hands, and we need to make some changes in our community to make it a safer community. I've gone all over, Beulah, Rye, Colorado City, all over, and it's the same thing that I hear from people. No one feels safe. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live in the mountains, it doesn't matter. Crime is everywhere. And so as a county commissioner, I really want to push on our legislators that are elected to start passing bills that will change those crime bills, because that's the reason we are not a safe community. And I'll say it a million times, Pueblo deserves better than that. Those decisions were not for Pueblo, those are Denver decisions. And as your county commissioner, I will protect you, Pueblo. I'm not here to represent Denver.
Okay. Danae?
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for clarifying, Paula, as well. I just want to make sure that the voters understand we have to live in a district, but everybody in Pueblo gets to vote for two county commissioners, and I'd be honored to have your support for one of those seats. I think when we talk about specifically district issues, I agree. As a mother, nothing is more important to me than ensuring that our kids can grow up in a safe community. My policy on public safety has been to prioritize law enforcement dollars where it's needed the most, to approach public safety. I want to make sure that you understand that that's why I have fought at the legislature to invest in preventative measures such as mental health, addiction treatment, behavioral health. I believe that we should address the root causes of crime so that we can intervene before some young adults make poor choices and enter a life of crime. I'm also honored to have been endorsed by the Fraternal Brotherhood of Police Officers, number 837, the Sheriff's Deputies Union. I have brought money to build the new State Patrol Center here in Pueblo County as well. That center will provide our law enforcement officers the resources and facilities they need to effectively protect and serve our community. I think that we have issues across Pueblo, but I also want to make sure we understand and we celebrate that Pueblo is a phenomenal place to live. Pueblo is a place that people seek out and move here. During this campaign, I have met folks that are new to this community because they wanted to come here, and they love this community. They get tired of our own folks bringing us down and saying negative things consistently and blowing things up for political talking points. We have a community that has issues like any other community. Take a look around. Every community has issues to fight and battle. What I want to do is make sure that we are coming together to not only highlight the great things we have, but to solve those issues together. That's what I will do as your next county commissioner.
Paula Rebaugh.
Absolutely. One of the things that you neglect to mention is that you voted for SB 2217, enhancing law enforcement integrity, that took away qualified immunity for our law enforcement. You voted for that. And while you say you're for Pueblo, every single crime bill, you voted for it, and that is why we are facing this crime crisis. HB 191263, controlled substance possession, you voted for that. You weren't thinking of Pueblo, you were thinking of Denver and your party up there. HB 181225, no monetary bail. Denver, again, you're not thinking of Pueblo. These are bills you voted for and you signed off on, and this is the thing you don't tell people, and I'm sorry, but that is not going to help us. All the money you bring from Denver means nothing when we can't have a safe community. That's your record, that's what you've done, and that's what voters need to understand.
Danae?
Yes, I'd love to talk about these bipartisan pieces of legislation that were passed at the state capitol. Senate Bill 217 actually had bipartisan co-sponsors, and it actually passed the Senate 32-1. That means it had to have Republican support, including a former sheriff's deputy, a sheriff from Weld County. These are bills that truly were, in the moment, needed, and they had conversations and brought forward. When you talk about House Bill 1263, Representative Sandridge, who is a former police officer, Republican from Colorado Springs, was a prime sponsor. He was one of the driving forces of that bill and helped me actually understand why I should vote for it. A Republican talked me into why that was important for Southern Colorado, being from Colorado Springs. When you talk about House Bill 1225, Senator Lundeen and Representative Soper, both prime sponsors of that bill, both of them Republicans as well. That's to make sure that we are making sure that monetary bonds for petty offenses like traffic offense in municipal courts could be something that passes on because we had no more room in our jails.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation into the next question, and Danae, you'll answer it first. We're building a new county jail, but the Pueblo County Sheriff's Department struggles to find employees, as do most law enforcement agencies in Colorado. What specifically and pragmatically can you do to deal with this situation?
I appreciate the question, Steve. It's something that's been near and dear to my heart since I ran the bill that enabled county employees to collectively bargain. Sheriff's deputies have formed a union, and they formed a union because they have ideas on how to improve morale, how to improve retention, how to keep people safe, and what to do in this community. That's why they've endorsed me. We've had several conversations about ideas that they have and how they want to be able to be at the table to talk about making their jobs better and more likely to be able to recruit folks here. I also want to mention that when we talk about the bill that passed, took away governmental immunity, Montana, that big liberal state, they've also passed that bill as well to make sure that we are taking care of folks. There have been absolutely no lawsuits in Colorado, no lawsuits in Pueblo, no lawsuits in Pueblo County when it comes to governmental immunity for these police officers. It is a very high bar when you have to make sure, you have to make sure that there is a big mistake made in order to even come forward with a, with that type of issue. This was to stop police brutality that we saw throughout the count, throughout the country when the, George Floyd happened, when Elijah McClain happened. Those are real things that happened, and we had to make sure we were tying hands of folks that were doing things in improper ways. That's what that bill is about. That has not been proven to have stopped anybody. Employment in police officers and employment in law enforcement itself is down across the nation because of what's been happening nationally, not because of some bill that we passed here in Colorado. I will stand beside our sheriff's deputies and make sure that they have every tool that they have to be prosperous and to make sure that when it comes to doing their everyday job, their very important job to keep our community safe, they have that ability to do so. I just wanted to make sure that folks that were doing wrong were held accountable like I would in any other space.
Paula?
Absolutely. I know people in law enforcement. I understand people that work in law enforcement, and many of them understand what not having qualified immunity does to their career, does to their future. They have to buy insurance. And it has definitely driven down the numbers of law enforcement officers that are being employed in our community. According to Advanced Colorado Reporting, we have seen a drop of law enforcement officers from 69% in 2013 down to 65% in 2023. It is a chilling effect. And I know you want to justify it by saying a Republican might have signed off on it, but that makes no difference to me. These bills, these laws have not helped our community. They've hurt our community, and especially the ones that are going out every night protecting us and doing the job, they need to be protected. And I don't understand how when you talk about a sheriff's union that you can say that's good enough. I don't believe that's good enough. I think the laws need to change to protect our law enforcement officers. A union cannot do that by itself. Many law enforcement officers belong to unions and still have to buy more insurance. How is that helping them? It's not. And so the chilling effect is that no one's going into the law enforcement community because they don't want to. Can you imagine doing a job and knowing you could be sued for it at any minute? It's a tough enough job as it is. And that's the problem. The lack of respect for law enforcement and our laws has created this crisis, and you signed off on it, and you can name every Republican you want, but you own it too.
Okay, Janaya, rebuttal?
Absolutely. I've never shied away from voting on those bills, ever. And I have been able to explain to folks who have asked me about it exactly why I have voted on those bills. Just like the 750 other bills I've had to vote on every single year for the last 8 years that I served. I want to be clear what qualified immunity actually does. If you don't report the use of force, or if you fail to intervene while somebody else is using excessive force, exceeding the degree of physical force permitted by law, or no deadly force to, it says that you cannot use deadly force to apprehend a person suspected of a minor offense. That's what we were talking about. We weren't talking about taking away a tool for folks, and we weren't talking about crippling our police officers in the line of duty. You talk about stats from 2013 to 2023. The world has changed in 10 years. Lots of things have happened in 10 years that have pushed people away from wanting to go into law enforcement. This bill, I'll remind you, that you're blaming for this cause of a decrease was passed in 2020. Again, there has been no lawsuits in Colorado, and there's been absolutely no proof that this specific bill is the reason why law enforcement has a decline.
Paula?
Again, I realize the data may not be there, but anecdotally, I've talked to lots of law enforcement officers in the community. And you can laugh about it, but it's a real problem. I have family that work in law enforcement, and they deal with it a lot. There's a lot of retirements, a lot of people that are choosing not to do it. And that can't be measured by whatever data you're looking at. All I know is when I walk around downtown Pueblo, or I'm in the community itself, I don't feel safe after 6 o'clock. That's all the evidence I need, because what we've created is really a crime crisis, and you're the author.
Before we move on to our next question, I'd like to remind you of the little chat we had before we started. Let's don't be laughing at the candidates when they say something that you don't agree with. This isn't about you. We're here to hear what the candidates have to say. Having said that, Paula, you'll answer this question first. The issue of Pueblo County's responsibilities to support infrastructure and other needs in Pueblo West, the metropolitan district, always has been complicated. How do you see Pueblo County's role in that community?
Well, thank you, Steve. As you know, we have a new intergovernmental agreement with Pueblo West. For many years, Pueblo West took the responsibility of the roads, and unfortunately, as Pueblo West grew, the amount of dollars it took to keep pace with that exceeded what Pueblo West could do. So we are years and years behind on 300 and some roads of maintenance. And now that the county has it back, it's going to be an issue for the county commissioners to manage the budget for the roads. And so working with the Pueblo West Metro Board on what the planning is and what I see the county commissioner's role is to work with the Roads and Bridge to make sure we have it outlined what roads will be managed at what and at what time they will be done. It's millions and millions of dollars, and there's not enough tax revenue to sustain what needs to be done. But with thoughtful planning and working together, we can at least get a calendar, a schedule together of how those will be addressed. But that IGA that went back to Pueblo West does not have the money, and now it's back at the county. So that is a challenge for the county commissioners to manage for many, many, many years to come.
Okay. Danae?
We do have the IGA with Pueblo West Metro, and I think we've our current Board of County Commissioners has established a good working relationship with Pueblo West Metro, really having robust conversations about what it is that Pueblo West Metro Board needs to see from Pueblo County to be sure those dollars that were passed in a ballot measure are being used effectively in Pueblo West. We have worked as my fellow commissioners and I have worked to make sure that Roads and Bridges are already working on a prioritization and planning process to see which roads are actually going to be fixed first and how they are going to move forward with deciding that. I trust the experts at Roads and Bridges to really make sure that they are prioritizing not just Pueblo West roads, but the roads across the entire county. We have a lot of roads in Pueblo County that we are responsible for. And I thank the folks in Pueblo West for passing that ballot measure to at least give us a little bit more boost of money, because we took on a lot when we took on the Pueblo West roads. But it's still not going to ever be enough to be able to do every single road that needs it. So we have to prioritize. Our Roads and Bridges team at the county does a phenomenal job of figuring out which roads need worked on first, and that's exactly what they've done, and I'm proud to stand by them. One thing that we've got coming around the corner is trying to figure out who's responsible for stormwater out in Pueblo West. This is a conversation that we've already started having at the County Commission. This is something we have to have with Pueblo West Metro Board, because there's confusion when it comes to the ballot language of who exactly is responsible for the stormwater and the stormwater damage that happens in Pueblo West. And it's real. It's impacting people's property values. It's impacting people's lives, and it could be a safety issue. It's something that we can't just keep talking about. We have to come together, figure it out, and come to the table. That said, I know our budgets are tight, and I know Pueblo West Metro Board's budget is tight, but we have to come up with creative solutions, and I feel that we can do that with collaboration and conversations. It happens every single day in business. It's something that we should be doing in government.
Paula?
I think, again, it's a challenge. It's one of the biggest challenges that I've been I went to the county commissioner meeting when the Metro Board presented their concerns about the roads and the water. It is something when you, and I think this is something I've learned as I've gone to those meetings, when you build a home and it sheds water, the water has to go somewhere. And when you do landscaping, the water has to go somewhere. And for many, many years, there's not been guidance from Pueblo West when people build out there. And so it's created a really horrible situation with drainage and also with the road situation. So we have to work really diligently with Pueblo West Metro and the citizens of Pueblo West, which I live in Pueblo West, so I know, to make sure they understand how much money it will take and how much time it's going to take us to catch up on the road work that needs to be done out there.
Okay, Danae?
The only other thing I'll add is, as your county commissioner, one of my roles, and many people don't know this, is we are assigned probably 10 to 13, depending on what commissioner you are, boards across the entire county. And one of the boards I have the honor of serving on is the Pueblo West Chamber Board. And these are conversations that I think we've had, even when we talk about what can bring small business to Pueblo West, what can we do to help small business owners in Pueblo West, And it's your government that needs to step up and figure out how we move about, well, not only roads, not only stormwater, but all of the infrastructure in Pueblo West. Our small business owners out there are working very hard to continue their businesses, but there's also folks who are looking to Pueblo West to expand their business. How can we help them? Pueblo County government needs to make sure that we are at the table with those conversations to make sure that we can help, especially when it comes to making sure that we have a streamlined process for businesses to open and build. And that's something that I've already started to work on with the Chamber in Pueblo West.
Danae, you'll answer this question first. When marijuana was legalized, the Pueblo County Commissioners went ahead and authorized marijuana operations in the county, and because there was great excitement over how much that would benefit the Pueblo economy. And it did at first. But now the industry has seen significant declines and the promise of great things has faded. However, there's all these problems that are related to marijuana. What's your position?
So I think when we talk about what's happening with the marijuana industry, we need to acknowledge that whether we voted for it or we didn't vote for it, it is an industry that exists in Pueblo. And we know that Pueblo County has tied themselves to that industry for a very long time, trying to use a lot of that money to build a jail here. We have right now, we already have 1,000 employees that are employed by the marijuana industry in Pueblo, Colorado. Those are actual good paying jobs. Those are jobs that people use to depend on. It's something that we have to think about. When we talk about the marijuana industry itself, we want to put our hand out and say, give us your tax revenue, but we don't want to help you succeed. We have to think about it differently. We have to look at why the industry has declined. I know there's national pressures on the industry, but also what is Pueblo County doing to keep these industries here and lucrative, to make sure that we have the tax dollars that we've depended on from them for so long, but also to employ the folks who have real jobs in that industry itself. It's a legal industry in Colorado. We have to acknowledge that. We have to stand up as a county and figure out how it is that we stand up and support them, especially in a changing environment, as honestly, weed will probably be legalized across the country soon, and there will no longer be a market here in Pueblo that is unique. We've already seen that decline. What can we do to keep that industry here, keep those workers here, keep those jobs here in Pueblo County, and by golly, keep that tax revenue here that we use for scholarships for high school students? Tax revenue that we use, that we're in debt using to build a jail. We have so much riding on that tax revenue. We have to acknowledge that, we have to see that, and we have to move forward and acknowledge that it's an actual industry, and now we have to figure out how to work with that industry in a better way.
Paula?
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm very familiar with the marijuana issue. That is the first thing that caught my attention in knowing what a county commissioner does, because what happened in Pueblo County is they changed all the zoning land use rules for the industry before citizens even knew this business was coming. The reason that people got to vote on it is because there were several people like me that asked and demanded that we get to vote on it. And we had to struggle to get it on the ballot to vote. It should have been a citizen's vote to begin with. What was done in the back rooms of the commissioner chambers back then in 2014, 2015, became a huge political issue, because what they did is they made the decision without you, the voter. This is why I'm interested in running for Pueblo County Commissioner. Those kind of decisions, when you change an economic landscape for a community, you better darn well ask the community what they think about it. And that didn't happen with this industry. Now we're living with an industry that's in decline. They said they wanted to be regulated like alcohol. It's really difficult to regulate them. They have a very high potency in their products. And what I'm concerned about is protecting our kids from this drug. You can go into the emergency room at any given point and you'll see kids that are struggling. 1 in 6 kids can have a psychotic break from the use of marijuana. The drug itself is legal. We voted for it. I get that. But we need to do a better job of protecting our kids in this community. And as your county commissioner, I'm going to make sure our health department does better education and protects our youth and our young people from this industry that for the last 10 years has kind of been in the wild, wild west in Pueblo. It's time to be responsible, and it's time to make sure that they live up to their promise to provide a safe drug. If you've talked to anybody that's dealt with someone in addiction, you will understand what I'm talking about. It is not a safe drug. It is a drug. And we need to educate our kids better. And that's what I'm committed to doing.
Danae?
So as a state legislature, I did work on state policy with folks when we talked about the potency of marijuana and the different concentrates that are out there and how to make sure that we are keeping this drug out of the hands of kids, just like we have those same conversations about alcohol. As a county commissioner, the only job I have is to make sure I am looking at industries that are here in Pueblo and how we can make sure that they are generating the tax revenue that you, the people, the taxpayers, need to be able to have the services that we provide you every year. This is part of my conversation, is making sure that the state legislators can do their job when it comes to state laws around marijuana, and we as county commissioners do our job to make sure that the industry itself is able to succeed in a way that we are counting on it to for our tax base.
Paula?
One thing I would like to add, I did sit for 3 years on the Marijuana Tax Accountability Committee, and my job on that committee was to explain the various revenues coming in, whether you grow it, whether you sell it, the retail sales tax. I spent 3 years working on a committee to help explain the revenue piece coming in. And as I got deeper and deeper into my second and third year on that committee, the revenues began to decline. And what we've seen since I started that committee to the time I ended the committee was a crash of the revenue coming in to support what would be doing scholarships, whether it's supporting the jail. And so I got a good understanding of the marijuana revenue coming in. And right now, it's just not a significant player in our budget. It's declining, and it's a concern because it was promised to fund certain things, and now we've got to find revenue elsewhere. And so that's a big challenge for the county commission, to look at those declining revenues and figure out where else can we get the money to fund the things that were promised by an industry that, frankly, is burned out.
Okay, Paula, you'll answer this one first. With the elimination of coal-fired power plants, there's a need for alternative ways to develop energy. What is your position on the possibility of Pueblo building a nuclear power plant?
Well, I have to go back again to the legislature, and their brilliance decided to force us to be green energy compliant by 2040. That meant the elimination of coal fire. That meant the elimination of natural gas. And so our legislature, again, made a decision that we're going to be on green energy, and it'll be cheaper, and it'll be better, and it'll be wonderful, and there'll be butterflies in the air, and it'll be awesome. And what's ended up happening is, as we find acres and acres and acres of land that have solar panels on it, it's not enough energy. And as we look at wind towers that can't produce the wind because it's not windy enough, we're realizing we can't function and get affordable energy in our community on solar and wind. The closure of Comanche 3 presents a whole other problem, though, as a county commission. We're going to lose about $24 million in tax revenue from Comanche 3 when it closes. What does that mean to our county budget? What do we cut? $24 million is a lot of money. Is it the library system? What are we looking at? We have to have another energy source. And when it comes to small modular nuclear energy, I learned a lot about that. I was a little kid at Three Mile Island, grew up with the fear. It was my 22-year-old son that said, "Mom, you need to educate yourself. This is a different kind of nuclear energy." And as I've learned about it, I realized the potential for this energy to produce the revenue that we need, the energy that we need, safer, cheaper, and cleaner. I support it. I'm interested in looking at it. The PUC will make the decision. But I, as a county commissioner, will support our further investigation of nuclear power. We must find ways to produce cheaper energy. Pueblo cannot afford it. Black Hills Energy, in raising their rates 18%, is crazy. But it's because energy is expensive, and we've got to figure out ways to produce cheaper energy. And so nuclear is one of those options I am in favor of.
Janaea?
Thanks, Steve. We can joke and poke fingers as much as we want to at the state legislature, but the bills they pass because climate change is real. I'm not sure if you've noticed what's happening in eastern North Carolina right now. So climate change is happening, and it's happening everywhere. These are bills that we brought together, and I'll tell you, I voted against some of these because they would impact jobs here in Pueblo County specifically that we weren't ready to move forward on. But we had those conversations. Xcel Power Plant right now, Comanche, only gives some power to Evraz in Pueblo County. The rest of the power that is generated there is shipped up to Denver, yet we have been the ones who have dealt with the pollution from the coal plants all of these years. When it comes to figuring out what happens next, we need to make sure that there are just transitions happening. When I was at the state legislature, I was proud to make the Just Transition Department and find a way to fund it to be sure that we have real ideas coming forward on how communities just like ours, which is why I ran the bill, to make sure that communities just like ours have what it takes to move forward from coal. The conversations that have happened from Xcel and PISAC is specific to nuclear. I have been the person who has been endorsed by not only Conservation Colorado on one end, but IBEW on the other end, because I am making sure I'm having thoughtful conversations. I am educating myself. I am trying to figure out what technology PISAC's even discussing, because they have not said what technology yet they even want to propose to the Public Utilities Commission. So I'm not going to take a stance for political points on any side of this right now. I want to educate myself, help educate our community, see what the Public Utilities Commission has to say when Xcel proposes their proposal, and move forward. We have to have a portfolio of energy when it comes to clean energy. That could include nuclear, but that includes solar, wind, geothermal energy, hydroelectricity. There's so many options that we have to think about, but we also have to think about how we move forward as a county and look out for our own transition and not depend on Xcel to solve our problems for us.
Paula?
It's an easy thing to say you're not taking a position when you have the Sierra Club and IBEW both endorsing you. You're not taking a position. And that's an easy thing to do, to stand in the middle of the road and say, well, I'm not for anything. I'm just here. But unfortunately, you do have to make choices when you're in leadership. And sometimes you have to say what needs to be said. All I'm saying when it comes to nuclear is we should explore it. There's a group, there are avid groups that don't even want the discussion. And I'm saying we have to discuss it. I'm not saying what technology I would support out of all of the options there, but we have to be open to exploring it. And you can't be open to something if you're, I don't know, in the middle of the road and trying to please both sides. It does take a leadership to say, this is what we should do, and this is what we need to do. And what I'm saying is, if we're going to replace $24 million of revenue to our budget, we need to do something different. Whether it's restarting coal fire plants, natural gas, or nuclear, I'm for all energy. Whatever we can do, that's what I'm for.
Janaea?
Thank you, Steve. Let me be clear. Having an endorsement from Conservation Colorado and an endorsement from IBEW is not easy to do when they both know what I'm talking about, when they both know that I'm saying the same thing to each of them. I am trying my best to educate myself on the future and the future technology and what we can do to move Pueblo forward. I don't want to depend on Xcel Energy, who doesn't provide us power. They do not provide us power from this generation here. I don't want to depend on them to solve our problems for us. That's one of the reasons we're in the issues that we have now, is that we've depended on too many other industries to solve our problems. That's why I have started the Just Transition program in the state, why I'm looking to figure out how to do that at the county. I served as the Just Transition director for a whole month before I moved down to this vacancy at the city, because I want to see what we can do as Pueblo collectively, what we could put our heads together and think of different industries to fill that $24 million gap. We don't have to depend on an investor-owned utility company to solve our problems for us anymore.
Okay. Janaea, you'll answer this one first. Commissioners are administrators overseeing a budget in hundreds of millions of dollars. And each department in the county wants a piece of that. What qualifies you to oversee that budget?
Thank you, Steve. I think when we talk about the $409 million budget of the county, it's very important to be able to look at the different needs across the entire county and figure out how we divvy up those dollars, because everything we do is important. Every single community member that we help serve is important and deserves to have the services that we offer. When I was at the state legislature, I served as the chair of the Joint Budget Committee, where we oversee, when I was there, it was a $33 billion budget. I believe it's $43 billion now. It was a $33 billion budget. It was something that was a year-long committee. We dug into those budget numbers, and we had huge plans when I was the chair to make life so much better here in Colorado for so many folks, and then COVID hit. And literally, when everybody else went home, we were stuck in our building. The committee members and our staff were stuck in a building together, figuring out how we were going to cut $3 billion out of our budget without cutting services that people in our state depended on. It was not the pretty shiny budget I wanted to write home about. It was not the budget that I was so excited and proud about. But I've got to tell you, when you are faced with disaster and being able to look at every line item of a $33 billion budget and figure out how to cut what is necessary to balance that budget without harming folks and harming the services that they depended on, especially in the middle of a pandemic, I say that makes me qualified to look at the budget here at this at the county and figure out how we move forward.
Paula?
Yes. I have qualifications that go beyond just big numbers at a state-level budget. I think it takes somebody that knows how to read the numbers, explain the numbers, and work with people one-on-one. And I have 20 years of experience of working with folks when it deals with budgeting, grant management, project management. You have to know how to explain things sometimes. Folks don't always understand what they're looking at. And so it does take an element of being able to be personable, approachable, and reasonable when you're dealing with budget things that are very complicated. And so what I look forward to as a county commissioner is applying the skills that I've obtained in 20 years of work, as well as a master's degree in public administration, to managing the county budget in a way that the end user, the taxpayer, understands where the money's going, what it's buying, and what it's doing. And that takes a skill set that I know that I have. I can communicate well, and I understand the numbers, and I know what I'm looking at. And so I bring that to the table. I'm very proud of that fact that I can do that, and that's why I'm running for office. And I hope you consider me. My experience is valid as well. It might not be billions of dollars, but I have years of experience in it.
Danae?
I want to make sure that you all understand and are secure with the thought that our budget department does a phenomenal job every single year at the county. These employees work very hard to make sure that they are looking through the budget as well. What I think we also need to bring to the table, though, is transparency of that budget. We need to make sure that the line items that are so important are out there and folks understand how to read the budget, folks understand what's happening within the budget, how it's going to impact you, making sure that these little side projects that people are concerned about, how are they funded? Let me tell you how they're funded. There needs to be more education, more transparency. That's why I started videos on Facebook through the county to help explain exactly what your public county government does. I was hopeful to be able to do that with the budget, and I plan to do that again this year. I plan to do that this year as we are moving forward now in our budget process. As soon as I'm back from maternity leave next week, we will begin to have those conversations and figure out how we move forward and how we really protect Pueblo County now.
Paula?
Again, I think that what you look for in a county commissioner is someone that's approachable and reasonable and also has ideas about how to communicate. And I agree with you, Danae. I think communication is really key. I think we need to do a better job at the county of providing our citizenry with information they need to know what's going on. I think that is one area where if I could look at the budget and say we need to improve upon, we need a better way to get information out. We don't really have a print media, a news media like we used to have that would publish things that you could find. We have to be our own news media at the county, and we need to make sure the budget numbers are published, the meetings are noted, and that folks know where to get that information, whether it's through the Facebook live meetings or on the website, the minutes of the meetings. We need to be more transparent at the county when it comes to the budget, and that's something I'm committed to doing if I'm elected.
Great.
Okay. We'll now have closing remarks. Danae won the coin toss and elected to conclude tonight's event, so we'll begin with Paula.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming out. It is something to see on a Wednesday night that we would almost have Hogue Theater completely full of avid, interested voters. 2024 is an interesting election year. We're electing presidents, we're electing congresspeople, and you're also electing county commissioners. And my pledge to you as a citizen first, never ran for office before, I'm not a career politician. My greatest accomplishment has been that, to be a mom of two sons. Thank you. And now that I have this opportunity to run for office, it is really to serve you and to be a good steward. I don't have to do this job. I've chosen to run for this job because I think Pueblo County needs a different direction. Pueblo County needs change. Pueblo County needs somebody who's looking out for you, Pueblo, not the interests of Denver, not following through with things that don't really match what we desire in our community. So I'm running for this office to really be your voice, your person in the office that really listens to you. And I've modeled my campaign this last year off of how I'll be a commissioner. I've gone to every community in this county. I have held meet and greets. I have held informational meetings. I have collaborated with our city council members in those areas. And we, as an elected body of this city and county, we need to be the leaders you need us to be, and we need to collaborate together, working with city council, working with the mayor, working together as a commission, working for you. That's what I pledge I'm going to do. You're top of mind. You're the boss. You elect me. That's my commitment for the 4 years of my term, is to serve you with everything I've got. Thank you for coming out tonight. I hope you see the contrast between me and my opponent. I hope you're educated in being able to vote. And on November 5th, I appreciate your consideration in voting for me, your next county commissioner.
Janaea?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, all of you, for joining us. And those of us watching online, or those of you watching online, I was watching online the last two nights. Thank you for really making sure you're doing your due diligence and educating yourself on your vote. It's so very important. I agree. I agree with Paula. You need to compare and contrast who is running for this seat. Fighting for a woman's rights versus wanting to control your medical decisions. Fighting for your religious freedom versus wanting Pueblo education and government to be led by Christian nationalists. Fighting to bring community together versus dividing with hateful political rhetoric. Fighting to bring transparency versus purposely spreading misinformation and mistruths consistently. Fighting to bring my experience to Pueblo County versus learning on the job and not understanding exactly what job this is. Fighting for Pueblo's future as a new mom versus maintaining the status quo. Fighting for all working people versus someone who believes in the right to work. Some will have you believe that Pueblo is hopeless, ruined, even burnt to the ground, I've heard. I don't believe that rhetoric. Do you? I believe in Pueblo, our strength, our growth, our people, our beauty. Pueblo comes together in times and needs. We always have. We must come together and stop the us versus them mentality among us. We have always been a community of neighbors looking out for each other, and we need leaders who will step away from political rhetoric, political parties, who won't repeat mistruths or spew misinformation to others. We need leaders who will bring people together. I have a record of doing that. I have a record of doing that. If you look at my legislative career, the majority of my bills have been bipartisan for a reason. I truly believe that once I am elected, it's probably Democrats who have elected me, but I represent every single person in that district, whether it was a district at the legislature or as a county commissioner. Those folks deserve to have a voice as well. I reach across the aisle to see the different ideas and how we can come together and collaborate on new ideas on how to move folks forward in the best way possible. That's what I have done. I did that for 8 years at the state legislature. I did that as a community organizer for this community on issues that matter to this community. I made sure our voices were heard in Denver. I didn't carry Denver's ideas. I was the state representative for this area, for this exact district, in fact, for District 2, is the same area as District 46 was. I was that state representative who was known as Representative Pueblo because I made sure your voices were heard at the state capitol. That is something I will continue to do as a county commission, is make sure everybody's voices are heard. I'm tired of us not taking advantage of so many opportunities that we have. Bills that we passed at the state legislature, bills that are still being passed at the state legislature, we're not taking advantage of. We're not getting our piece of it. That's something I will continue to do with the experience and with the networks I have accumulated over the last 10 to 15 years as a community organizer and as a state legislator, to make sure we are getting exactly what we deserve and what we need here in Pueblo. Because Pueblo, I love you and I believe in you. My name's Danaea Esgar, and I would love to have your vote for county commissioner.
I'd like to thank both candidates for a very spirited debate, and for all of you for coming out tonight. And you pretty much behaved. I appreciate that. And, you know, but that's okay. I mean, it's a very good contrasted opinions tonight. It was a good debate. So thanks for coming out tonight. Drive careful. Have a good evening.
And you've been listening tonight live to the debate taking place at Pueblo Community College's Hogue Theater between the candidates for Pueblo County Commissioner District 2. Steve Henson has been our moderator tonight. We thank him, and we also thank the Greater Pueblo Chamber of Commerce, the League of Women Voters of Pueblo, and PCC for allowing us to broadcast their audio and bring these debates to you here live on KSPK. I'm Paul Richards. We now return to our regular programming here on KSPK FM.
All your favorites and the hot new country you crave. This is KSPK Country.
To the sand, it's all we talked about lately. I packed a car, bring your guitar and Jane for smoking. First thing at dawn, you'd cue the songs and we get going. But you went home, waited on the porch for you, sat there alone all throughout the morn till I got a hunch down in my gut and snuck around the back. Empty cans and I'll be damned, your bags were never packed. Did your boots stop working? Did your truck break down? Did you burn through money? Did your ex find out? Where there's a will and there's a way, and I'm damn sure you lost it. Didn't even say goodbye, just wish I knew what cost it. Was the whiskey flowing? Were you in a fight? Did the nurse come get you? What's your alibi? I'm made my way back to LA, and that's where you'll be forgotten. Wash up in Austin. Hell of a bluff, you had me believing. How many months did you plan on leaving? What happened? Bad habits. You go back, go back. I loved you, how tragic. Oh, did your boots stop working? Did your truck break down? Did you burn through money? Did your ex find out? Where there's a will and there's a way, and I'm damn sure you lost it. Didn't even say goodbye, just wish I knew what cost it. Was the whiskey flowing? Were you in a fight? Did the nurse come get you? What's your
KSPK Country.
Alabama on the boombox, baby. About to get a little boondock.
Let's go! Y'all better turn this one up. Feels good, don't it?
Big stars breaking out through the indigo. Shitty wind coming in stereo. Tail lights disappearing about a mile. So down the county road, phone blowing up, where you is? Baby saying, baby, let's
Thanks, San Luis, for making us the most listened to station. We're Southern Colorado's KSPK Country.
Right there's a high school where we met. We sneak out back for a couple kisses and a cigarette. And that parking lot was our first date. And her mama slammed the door when I dropped her off too late.